This is the United We Stand podcast brought to you from Old Trafford around the Burnley game. The Burnley game. This podcast is brought to you in association with Improve Easy. Improve Easy, helping United fans across the country save money on their energy bills by installing home improvement measures such as free solar panels, free boilers and free insulation. All you need to do is text the word EASY to 60777 to see if you qualify. There's government funds available to help you. That's text the word EASY, E-A-S-Y, to 60777. Why not give it a go? You might be missing out.
Welcome back to the latest United We Stand podcast. James Young, just walking down Warwick Road. United are set to play Burnley today. Now, I'm not going to give any prediction, because really, we've got no idea what's going to happen with United this season. They might win 4-0, or they might get beat, or they might draw. Anything can happen today. So, we'll see how it goes. But everyone just seems pretty exhausted, to be honest. I don't really see any excitement around the football club at the minute. I think a lot of people just kind of want this season to be over, to be honest. So, we'll see how it goes today, but it has to be better than midweek. All right, so with Binsey, United are about to play Burnley at home. What have you made of the last few weeks as a fan of the football team?
I don't know. We don't know who's going to turn up, what we're going to do. 1 minute we're winning, it'll probably be six. We'll be winning 6-0 at half time, and then it'll be fucking 6-6 in the 90th minute. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on in there, do you? But we're in the cup final, we won. And we beat Sheffield United, that's the main. We won, that's the main thing.
Did you go to Wembley or not?
No. Fucking shit, I'm not going near that place ever again.
Why?
Too much, but I'm an old man now, travelling fucking on motorways for 4 or 5 hours. No. Just can't wait to see the end of this season.
Yeah.
To see what's going to happen. And I want Ten Hag to stay me. I've never known a man to get so much fucking abuse. The fucking Yorkshire Ripper never got the fucking abuse he's getting, you know what I mean? To try and lose the man his job, and then when they lose his job, whoever comes in next, they'll try and get him fucking sacked as well, the dogs.
Well, that's the thing, I don't think there's many options on the table. If you sack Ten Hag, you'd...
No, what they need to do is, what Eric needs to do at the end of the season, walk into them changing rooms and went, got the bad news for you boys, I'm staying. Now you, and you, pack your fucking bags, because you're not playing for this club. I'm sorry, Marcus, but you need, best for the both of us, you need to go, mate. You need to go. Get another big payday. Get another Bentley. But you need to go.
So if you were in the dressing room today before kickoff, is that what you'd say to him?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I won't pick him. Why does he keep picking him? You're fucking taking Garnacho off. He's fucking done fuck all, Rashford. Has he got something in his contract? I don't know.
So you'd sell him then?
1,000,000% right. I'd sell him. 1,000,000%. There we go.
All right, nice one, Vincent.
All right, lad.
We're with David, who I've just met, and you're from Adelaide in Australia. You've come over to Manchester.
Yeah.
To watch United play Burnley.
Yeah.
Is everything okay?
Well, someone told me it was the blue ribbon fixture of the season, right. So I thought this is the one I'd put a ring around. Not really. Just circumstances. Right. This was the match I could make, and I get here so rarely. I don't care who we're playing. Right. I just want to see I'd like to see a good game and a decent victory and a lot of effort from the boys, but I'll take whatever I can get because it's half the world away.
Yeah,
so
well,
I've
been to Adelaide. It's nice, right. It's a nice place. You've got the beach right next to this little city thing that everyone sort of walks down. And then you've got, is it Lee Street? The sort of main...
in the middle of town there is a Lee Street. That's lots cool. Of restaurants and things.
A lot of nice bars.
Yeah.
Saw gorillas there. Very good.
Yeah.
And you've got a really nice Aussie Rules Stadium as well.
Yeah, Adelaide Oval.
Yeah,
these days.
Good, yeah.
And that's where both the AFL sides play. Yeah. I don't follow that. But, yeah, they play. It's a nice oval. Yeah. It used to be a beautiful cricket oval, and then they modernised it, so it's not quite as picturesque now, but it's a good place to watch sport, though.
Yeah, and do you watch Adelaide United at all or not?
I watch them on the telly, right. Because it's just easy to sit there in my lounge room on a Friday night and put it on the telly and watch it. I should go because it's easy, but I don't. But I watch all their games and I quite like them, yeah.
What's the quality like of the A-League? Is it sort of, would you say sort of League 1, League 2?
It's really hard because, you get the odd worldie and things like that, because some of the players, especially the import players, can obviously play, but they're not they're not of this standard. So, you know, it's really hard to pick because some elements of it are really good, but overall, the quality's not that good. You know, it's just too much poor play, too many errors. But it's still good. The teams are evenly matched, so it's a good watch.
Well, when I did pre-season in Australia last time, and I couldn't believe how popular the Premier League is there. Like, you go to Melbourne and you go to Perth. I mean, Perth has three different United supporters groups. Yeah. It's crazy, you know, it's absolutely massive over there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, United are popular. I went to Perth in, whenever it was, 2019 for both games. And I went to Melbourne the year before last, whenever it was, for the Melbourne game. And was that Palace?
I think so.
Yeah, that was the infamous booing Harry Maguire game. So it is popular, and both stadiums are all full, and I had to travel a long way. You know, it's 2.5 hours to Perth, but I went dragging my missus along.
So what time would you get up to watch United game then in Australia?
Well, this time of year, when you're on daylight saving and we're not, it's 3 o'clock kickoff is 11:30 at night, so
right,
that's quite good.
Bad, yeah.
The other, when you turn your clocks back and we turn ours forward, it's 1:30 in the morning, which is getting towards. And same thing, 8 o'clock kickoffs are either 4:30 in the morning or 6:30, and 6:30 is quite easy, 4:30 is not so easy.
Yeah. Well, in terms of United today then, what do you think the score's going to be? Can you predict United at all this season?
No, you can't. Yeah. Let's be honest, I mean, look at the other night. But I'm hopeful that I'm going to see a really good performance and we'll win 3-0. If we scrape 2-1, I'll probably still leave. Well, happy's not the right word for the way we're playing, but yeah, we'll see if anything can happen. And, you know, I mean, Champions League's gone, so the result is kind of, you know, but yeah, I'd really like to see just a really good performance and a decent victory.
So how many games would you get over for a season normally? Just one?
I mean, it's rare. I was just saying to John, I haven't been for 5 years because of COVID and what have you, but I intend to come every year now if I can, and just if I can find a Wednesday and a Saturday fixture, you know, I'll try and do two games, but that would be the upper limit.
So have you always lived in Australia, or did you move there?
No, I was born in England, and I went out there as quite a young boy, and my mum's from Chorlton, I was born in Derby, but my grandma in England was sending me United stuff before I could speak, I think, and so I never really had any choice, and I don't mind that at all, but this is in my blood, so I've been out there a long time, but I'll always come back.
Great, thanks for speaking to me.
Cheers, thank you.
David Dolan, with Sal United we stand, outside Hotel Football. Normally Stu's spot this, how are you getting on so far?
Okay, it's early days yet, but not too bad. I've sold a few, but not great. Obviously with it being the last run of this particular magazine, there's only a couple of us working today. Here's another sale coming up. Catch you on an interview. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm on one now.
Good on you.
Yeah, so it should be okay. There's just John and myself here today. I've got a freebie off hand, so I'll be in there today for a change. So, yeah, all good. Can't complain, really.
So you're normally on the other spot, on the other side.
On the foundation.
How does it compare?
Here?
Yeah.
Well, I just thought with there only being two of us, we're getting them coming in both ways. When I'm at the foundation, I'm just obviously getting the dribs and drabs that have walked past John or what have you. Yeah. So it should be okay. I mean, I'm hoping that...
Burnley at home today. Midweek was, again, the same thing as it's always been the last few months. There's no real way of predicting what this side's going to do at all at this point. It's just...
Not at all. But Burnley always, historically, have always turned up and they like the football. My window cleaner's a Burnley fan, a mad Burnley fan. They're all quite mad, all the Burnley fans. But they normally give us a really, really good game. And I think they'll come today because they need to. I'm not sure what their relegation situation is, but it's not looking too clever for them, is it, really? They need to win today. The way we've been playing, like you say, absolutely anything could happen. It could be 3-0 with 10 minutes to go.
I don't understand, for someone who's got Vixen Company as their manager, they seem to be just conceding goals all the time.
Yeah, I don't think they have the finances there, to be fair. I mean, I love Vinnie Company. I think everyone does. Everyone who's Mancunian likes Vinnie and would like to see him do well. I like Sean Dyche, but I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Burnley and their fans. Because, you know, they're from Lancashire and Lake District, the Yorkshire Moors and that. You only need to go up, don't you?
Well,
it's absolutely beautiful.
You've got Rochdale, Todmorden, Ramsbottom, Bury. Yeah. I mean, I can see Ramsbottom just about from the view out of my flat. And, like, you can see the hills with all the windmills on and everything. Like, and Peel Sour, great part of the world, you know?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, you used to be able to buy a house for, not that long ago, for 20 grand in Burnley.
Yeah.
But it's on the up at the minute. You've got Clitheroe. I mean, I think people are beginning to appreciate it's quite good to live in the countryside.
Yeah.
For your nuts and whatever.
Oh, look, you know? I mean, I love the Peak District, mate. I mean, I was in Strines in Marple the other week, right? A tiny little village, about 800 people. And the place was thriving. There was a pub there was a festival going on, you know.
A posh cafe.
Exactly. You know, I think Manchester's getting almost a bit too busy in the centre. You almost feel like you don't almost know where you are. You sort of feel a bit like, what's the word, where you sort of feel a bit out of place and you don't really know you know, how you're feeling.
Well, I'm in Prestwich, which is 4 miles outside Manchester, but we've got Heaton Park, which is absolutely huge, the Irwell Valley. So where you're not really, I mean, look at this canal, you're not ever very far away from some green and open spaces. I think, like you say, the people who live in Manchester, in the city centre, they don't get to see.
Disorientated, that's the word I was looking for.
Yeah, disorientated, All right, cheers, buddy. Thanks very much. Nice to meet you guys, And well, we're on it now.
Come on it now. Right, what's your name?
Brandon.
So we're just talking about the countryside in Manchester. How does Ireland compare? If you've got loads of great places to visit to go walking in.
What, it was about five minute walk inside of most of Belfast, even in the country. That's parts of it are beautiful. I don't know how it compares to Manchester. I did live here for like about 2 years, but I'm not. I wouldn't have visited the countryside.
Were you at uni?
No, I worked in, actually worked over there in Salford Keys.
Oh yeah, whereabouts?
At Poopa.
Oh yeah.
I worked in there.
No, I studied at Salford, so like the uni building is there next to the Poopa, but it's at the same place. Yeah.
It's changed so much since I was here, like around when we were good, about 2006, 2007.
It's changed so much though in that time though, around there. I mean, before really Media City was there, it was just nothing.
The big skyscrapers. No,
so was the BBC there when you were?
No, they weren't there yet. I think they just actually got started on that time whenever I moved there. But
So did you fly here today?
We flew yesterday. We ended in the Leeds yesterday.
Right. How did you find that?
Yeah. We went down the road yesterday. Yeah. A tatty like
that. Well, I got a shower this morning.
How do you think we're going to get on today?
Well, I think it'll be, I don't know, it's hard to say. Like, it's going to be, I'd say we'll be more than one goal in it. We'll definitely concede. Yeah. Like, but hopefully for him, this is his first game, so hopefully for him it'll be, we'll score a few and we'll win back. What do you think the score is going to be?
4-1.
4-1, that'll do.
Confidence, who's going to score?
Osiris is going to score for Burnley. Hoyland's going to score the first goal, and then Fernandez is going to score the second. Hoyland's going to score the next one, and then, Garnanti's going to score that one after.
There we go.
And then I think Hoyland's going to score the next one after Garnanti.
Did you win any football in Belfast, have you, before it? Have you been to any games in Belfast, then?
I've been only to the rugby there.
Ulster
and that, yeah. That's, but they're all, my sister, she's from Manchester, and her husband Mark, he's from Belfast, he's the Belfast one. They're all crazy Reds.
Yeah, he doesn't work. What's his second name? What's his surname,
man? Carson.
I know Mark from Manchester, what's his Belfast?
Have you been to Linfield before?
Yeah, we were in Windsor last week.
So
we're Clinville fans.
So I used to live in Barry. So Barry Sound played Cliftonville in the Europa Conference League. So I've seen Cliftonville play in Wales. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're doing all right this year. Yeah. They're in the Irish Cup final next week. So we're going to go next week.
And then, do you reckon that'll be a sellout at Windsor?
Clinville sold out our food allocation.
Right.
And Linfield, that's the first Linfield.
Is that the one that's near where my sister's is, near Stradmillis and whatever?
That's not far away, yes. Yeah,
by the railway.
Yeah, exactly. And they've redone it recently, so it's decent stadium.
Right, best of luck today.
Thanks very much, Sanjay.
Nice to meet you both.
Sorry, I couldn't chat with you for
long. Yeah, same problems, the same mistakes. It's clear that there's a lot of issues at the minute that just never seem to really be fixed. So we'll see where this goes. But again, United have been really, really poor today. And it's not a surprise at this point because they keep making the same mistakes. Every single week at this point. We'll see what happens, but United have not been good again. Alright, so Manchester United 1, Burnley 1. 3 minutes left to play. United 1, Burnley 1. Not good. I mean, it's pretty telling, really. I'm in the TRA part of Old Trafford, and about a minute after full time, and it's pretty much empty. Normally, the fans will stay and cut the players off, but yeah, referee's not popular today. Losing patience because it is the same thing every week at this point, and it, you know, credit to Burnley, they slipped United today and they knew exactly what they needed to do, but it's not difficult to know how to get a result at Old Trafford this season, because United have dropped so many points in that season that they shouldn't be with the squad that they have. And it's just poor. There's no other way of describing it, really. So, it's full time. United won, Burnley won. We've made them the beat sat with today. What have you made of that?
Yeah, it was a tough watch, that, wasn't it? Not overly dissimilar to what we saw in midweek. I said this time we saw United do what they've done quite a lot this season, which is get into a winning position and then fuck it up almost instantaneously after. I think, like I said to you before, I think general legginess of the past week, 120 minutes at Wembley and then midweek and then today, we look really leggy. But still, it's Burnley, we should be beating them. And I think the legginess has kind of caught up with our overall just general poor performances, and it has resulted in that.
The Burnley players are just walking off now. They're not popular with United fans, but Old Trafford's emptying fast. Normally, yeah. CRA sort of stops a couple of players off, but I mean,
yeah.
I mean, we're the only people left in the ground, and it's 4 minutes after full time.
I think there's like an overwhelming sense of apathy at the moment, just in the sense of like there wasn't real anger, was there? There wasn't many boos or anything, maybe a few at full time. But I think, given the net, like you said, the nature of the season, we might do enough to scrape over the line for six in Europa League. We might not, but it's not getting you, you know, it's not getting your stomach stirring, is it? Cup final, obviously, but that could be a pretty sort of disconcerting prospect. But yeah, not great.
It just feels very flat.
It does feel flat, yeah. And it's, I think there's been numerous points in the season, hasn't there, where you're hoping it's going to spark, you know, maybe Villa Boxing Day, the Scousers a few weeks ago, and. Look, it's been hard this season because there's just been so much going on. I'm not saying this is an excuse, but we can't keep any consistency with members of the squad. The players that we're having to use, we're using too much, like to Garnacho, Mainoo, still young kids developing. It is hard, but it should still be better. It's Burnley at home.
Have you got any hope for Wembley?
The people that know me know that I am an eternal optimist. I am scraping that optimism barrel, I'll be honest. I kind of feel like last season, which was generally pretty positive, we then went and lost the cup final. It would be very typical of this United team to have an absolutely shite season and go and beat them. Look, it'd be really fucking hard, but it's one game in at the end of the day, hopefully. But I'm pinning my hopes on.
Right. This United team can play well for about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If they score against City, but that's the problem. Like today, you think, oh, they've taken the lead, that's it. And then they just concede a penalty. Yeah. It's the same thing like every week.
Yeah. I'm pinning any lingering hopes on the likes of Martinez returning, Shaw returning, Varane, just for that game, you know, for nothing else moving forward. We know there's going to be so many big changes coming up. But yeah, just not too many of these kind of days at Old Trafford this season. Flat.
Yeah. I mean, looking forward then, the next few home games are basically just friendlies for Wembley at this point. The season's done.
It is, yeah. I think you were hoping that over the, you know, starting from Sheffield, that you might start to get some bodies back. Looking out, maybe even pick up a bit of form. Jesus, you know, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen. Palace is next, you know what we're like on the road. So you're right, you are just hoping that we can try and get some bodies back and just a semblance of some kind of rhythm.
And then, I mean, Arsenal as well, won't be an easy fixture as well. No. You know, I just hope it's not like two or three really bad defeats before you play City.
I know, exactly.
You need a bit of confidence in that team, you know.
Yeah, exactly, you do. And it is just like, it's one of these, in many ways, I completely agree with you, but then I also think back to what we said before, that on a one game, but like the Liverpool game in the Cup, I just had a feeling something was going to happen that day, and there was nothing at all for me to think like that. So I almost feel it is what it is on that derby day in the Cup final. But get me to the pub, younger. Get me to the pub.
Yeah, we're being kicked out, basically, so we need to leave, so I'll chat to a few other people. Just tell us what your name is.
Bernie Murray. From North Manchester Claretts.
So I'm guessing, how long have you been a season ticket holder for?
Yeah,
I can't stand bothering. For the last 20 years.
Well, we're not going to do anything. You'll probably
be pretty happy with that.
Where we were.
Well, no, but the only problem was we needed to win. So it was one of them games where normally a draw at Old Trafford is a fantastic result. Because, I've never seen us win there. But today we needed that win, which we didn't. It wasn't coming.
Were you surprised at how bad United were?
No. The thing is, I thought United played quite well. I think part of it is that United fans seem to think United should be better than what they are. You know, they are a good Premiership side, but they're not a top six side. So they're a good mid-table Premiership side.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the return fixture at Turf Moor earlier this season, and what sort of struck me about Burnley is, for someone who's got bits of confidence there, manager, they're not very good at defending.
The problem with Vincent Kompany is he's trying to get him to play in the same style as City, so it's all possession football. But the problem is, if you've not got the quality of players of City and you're in the Premiership, you can get punished, as Brighton did against City midweek.
So in terms of next season then, I mean, Burnley are probably looking like you're going to go down.
Yeah.
It's just a case of rebuilding and trying to get back into the Premier League, or what do you think the plan is going to be in sort of long term, the next sort of 5 years for Burnley?
Well, I think Vincent Kompany's learnt a few lessons, so I think, yeah, we'll go down. I think we'll definitely come straight back up, and then hopefully we can make an impression in the Premiership. But it's hard, isn't it? The Premiership is a tough league.
But Dyche is killing it at Everton, and they've got the points deduction, but he's doing a great job there. I mean, do you miss him?
Sense, yes, he was very points orientated, so you know, he'd go into a game and he would look at how do I get anything out of this game. So he wasn't there, he'd go and play his style of football. He would look and think, can I somehow manage to get a point out of this? I know we shouldn't get beat, we're playing away at Liverpool, can I get something out of it? And that was his style. And he's very good. I've got a lot of respect for him, but he was ready for a change. And you can only kind of watch that football for so long, and now we've got a change. And again, if Kompany style pays off, it'll be good. But again, I think Kompany will only stay 4 or 5 years, move on again.
I was saying earlier, some late Burnley, it's very picturesque, there's actually quite a lot of nice walks near the countryside, you know. People have got an idea of Burnley that it's a bit of a shithole, but actually, it's very picturesque, especially you get the train up there, you know. Burnley's got a lot of nice walks. It needs a bit more of a reputation increased. It's a nice little town.
I've never heard anyone call Burnley picturesque before. It's quite an old industrial town. It's full of terrace streets and stuff, but what it is, it's in a bowl, so you've got the hills around it, so it's a nice area, but yeah, the town itself is very down to earth.
What's one thing about Burnley that people listening to this might not know, like is there like an interesting fact or something like that about Burnley?
I think the thing about Burnley is the town, so right. The football club is the town. Yeah. There isn't other supporters. They're not there, you know, supporting a lot of Premier League clubs. You know, it is Burnley.
What I love about Turf Moor is, though, you walk into Burnley and Turf Moor is there. It's not like Old Trafford or the Etihad where you've got to get a different tram or things to the football stadium. Turf Moor, you see it straight away when you're in Burnley. You know, it's right there.
Yeah, like I say, it's good in that sense. It's like I say, it is an old-fashioned club in that sense, you know. And if you come to it, there's a lot of passion there. So, yeah, you will know about it if you come to, like I say, the fans are very passionate on that. But it is a family club, other than what it was 10, 20 years ago when, you know, it was a different era, but yeah.
Are you short on time? Are you sometimes too busy to plan healthy meals or prepare meals from scratch? Are you looking after yourself? Do you fall back on less healthy habits like caffeine or sugar for your energy when you need to focus? Does that result in caffeine or sugar crashes? Do you find that you have less energy than you had before? Do you want to continue doing what you want? Or do you want to do something a little bit different? AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 vitamins, minerals and other ingredients, including gut-friendly bacteria, antioxidants and high-quality mushrooms and more. Just one scoop of AG1, once a day, contains the nutrients you need to support your mental performance, energy, heart and immune system. For mental performance, AG1 supports sustained focus without a coffee crash. For energy, AG1 provides nutrients that make sure energy gets to where you really need it. Minerals like copper, chromium and phosphorus help unlock energy from your food. For heart health, AG1 helps support your heart and the formation and maintenance of red blood cells. For the immune system, AG1 is your daily dose of vitamin C, zinc and more to support your overall immune system. Skin, hair and nails, there's vitamin A, biotin and zinc contribute to the maintenance of normal skin. Nutrition can be complicated. You're constantly told to take 1,000 different supplements and to do 1,000 different things to be the best version of you. AG1 takes all of that worry away. Over 70 carefully selected ingredients, all in one scoop, once a day. It's simple, designed by a world-class team of scientists. We're sure that you'll feel great after taking AG1 for the first 90 days. In fact, we're so confident we'll put the money where our mouths are. If you're not 100% satisfied, contact AG1 within 90 days of your first order and you'll get your money back. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription. Go to drinkag1.com/UnitedWeStand. That's drink, D-R-I-N-K, A-G and the number 1.com/UnitedWeStand. Check it out.
Right, you can join in on the podcast in a second.
Come in.
Come in. Right.
What the fuck are you chatting about?
I'm doing the United We Stand podcast after United versus Burnley.
No.
Right, yeah. Right, so United have just drawn with Burnley. Manchester United won, Burnley won, with Jaggles, who's a supporter of United, we stand. Again, not a great performance, is it?
Nah, it's just, you're coming every week and you're hoping, you're walking in, you're thinking, maybe it'd be different this time, but it never really is it?
No.
It's just like, I was afraid we'd be thinking this season would nearly peter out, but after we got through, limped over the line against Coventry, you're thinking, right, we'll get a couple of good results and hopefully we'll build up some sort of confidence before the final, but that wasn't today, was it?
No, it's just so disappointing, isn't it? Because, again, for moments, United are fine, you think, all right, you'll get a goal with 20, 30 minutes to go, it's comfortable. But it's just the collapse, the inevitable collapse every single game.
Yeah.
Coventry, Bournemouth, Chelsea, it's like, oh, we're going to concede and that'll be it.
But that's it. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just making this up recently, but I can't remember so many times where we're like late goals,
penalties as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Last week, Coventry, sloppy penalty to give away. Today, absolutely no need for it.
Have you seen?
Yeah, but again,
Onana fucking cleared your man.
But why do that?
Yeah,
you're in control.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's very hard to see it in the ground. Like, I had no idea what happened. And it was like, but I knew it was going to be a penalty because it feels like the players have no, they've no kind of like, what's the word for it? It's like,
grits.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just be smarter. Just get the fucking game over the line.
But it doesn't, I mean, you've got Casemiro who's won about 3 Champions Leagues. You've got experienced players in that squad. You've got players that have been at United for a long time.
Yeah.
And they can't beat Burnley at home.
Yeah.
No, it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, but like, I was talking to Burnley fans there a few minutes ago and they're fucking buzzing. Yeah. Of course they are, because they obviously hate Man United and it's been a good day out for them, 1-1, whatever, but it's just like, yeah, it's just, it doesn't build you with confidence for next month and you're hoping something will come out of nothing in the next few weeks. Like, there's not that many games to go to build that confidence. Obviously, I think Luke Shaw and Martinez will be back soon enough, but I'm just trying to delude myself into confidence at this point. It's just like,
I was saying earlier, all these games we've got now are friendlies towards Wembley, really.
Yeah,
there's nothing to play for in the league apart from maybe Europa League or a Conference League spot. Everything is towards that final now.
But that's it. It's like,
if you're a player for United, surely you're going, right, we've got nothing to play for, so I'm going to prove myself in this team. But today, you'd think, right, you know, I'm going to really show Ten Hag that I want to play in that final, but it just felt like they were just exhausted again.
But that's an interesting point as well, because so people always call for Diallo to play and things like that, and he came on and I thought he did do a positive showing, but I feel like the manager doesn't really trust him, and there's players like, Anthony obviously scored a goal. It's like, you know what you're getting out of him, it's not much, but Yeah, yeah. It's like, right, so I agree with you. The league is like a situation now where it's, I don't really give a fuck where we finish, as long as we finish in Europa places, or European places. Like, Europa League, Conference League, doesn't really matter to me. They're both shit. We shouldn't be in them if it's Europa League or Conference League. But I really want to finish in one of them because I love a European trip. So, to be honest, Conference League would be a bit of crack. You'd be, where would you be in fucking...
Oh, I'd love it. Faroe Islands, Iceland, yeah, yeah. It'd be great.
Faroe Islands away. How much fucking crack would that be like? But, yeah. As long as we finish in one of them, the league's fucked now. But, yeah, if we can build up a bit of form for the FA Cup final, but how likely does that feel at this moment?
Also, a big fan of Register Clear, which is available now. If anyone is interested in a book about Salford, you can purchase that through my Instagram. Right, Alex has also joined us as well. Right, spontaneously, what are you doing outside the Pev?
I'm with my work friends outside Rainbar.
All right.
Avoiding all the Manchester United fans.
Okay. But you've still bumped into a few.
I've still bumped into a few. It's an interesting one. I'm an Arsenal fan, so I see it from the perspective of, we've still got used to play away. Yeah. And as an Arsenal fan, I'm nervous. I won't lie.
Really?
Really, yeah.
Why?
Because Old Trafford away is a hard game for us. You always get scrappy goals. It's never a clean one. There's other games that I'm confident that we can just breeze through. Like going Craven Cottage, for me, is I have no doubt about that. But when it's like games like Tottenham away, Old Trafford away, I just can't, like, I can't sit here and say we'll easily make a win. I just can't do it, because it's like, all it's going to take is Jesus not to turn up, or Martinelli to have a stinker, or it'll be something like Ben White decides not to turn up. The second Nketiah goes on the pitch, the game's done. We're not scoring. I genuinely think Nketiah needs to get sold. At the end of this season, he needs to go. If Leeds come up, Nketiah needs to go back to Leeds and stay there. 100%. Because for me, it's a case of, he's not provided enough for us to be classed as our only striker. When you look at the performance that he's put in, for our only striker that we have, he's not provided enough for us in the position that we are. If we want to be going head to head with City, we need someone that can bag loads of goals. Like, we need someone like Haaland, or someone like that. And Kane is not capable of that sort of stuff. That's why I say, like, when we play Man United away, I'm nervous. I'm nervous for tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen against Spurs. And I'm nervous for Old Trafford.
But how do you not get to Arsenal's position where they're competing for league titles?
I wouldn't say it's the manager's fault at this point, because when you look at your recent history, you've done a whole thing of sack the manager, getting you sacked. So it can't be the manager's fault at that point. I think it's a complacency thing. And you made the point of Casemiro, right? Casemiro has won X amount of titles, had so much experience. There is no reason why this guy shouldn't be that dominant figure in the dressing room that is telling all these young players, this is how you do it. You get to key matches and you're just crumbling. Like, but the thing is like, Arsenal crumble under high pressure at points. But sometimes I give them the benefit of the doubt, because these lads are young. So half of the team's never been in a Champions League match before in their life.
Of course,
so it's like, with a team like Man U, when half your players have been in Champions League finals and won X amount of trophies, you have to question their mentality at that point. It's like, I really question Mason Mount's mentality now, Casemiro's, even Antony's. It's like, you just have all these players that are being outperformed by Mainu, Garnacho, like all these youngsters, even Rasmus Højlund, who's literally just come in, outperforming all of these veterans. It's like, that surely is a complacency issue. And I think the hard part with Man United is it's the reluctancy to let go. And the key thing for me is Rashford. Rashford for me is, I wouldn't say a virus to that club, but I would say it proves where Man United stand in terms of loyalty. Rashford and Harry Maguire. Harry Maguire doesn't bring a lot to the club apart from loyalty.
He's had a good season, though, to be fair, this year.
When you define good, what are you basing it on? Because when I see good as in your team, I see Garnacho's had a good season. I see Kobe Mainoo's had a really good season. I would even argue to a point Martinez a good season. Like, that
I mean,
it's
about professionalism.
Good.
I mean, Maguire on Sunday, for example, at Wembley.
Like, don't get me wrong.
Maguire's had a good
He's had a good comeback from where he was. But at what point do you say, okay, we understand you, like, want to die for the badge, 110%. But at what point is it you're now too scared to let go of a player? Because in doing that, you're not only hurting yourself more, it's a case of you're hurting the club.
Yeah.
And that's what I think it is. I think there's something going on at Man United where it's like they're too scared to make that next step. Or there's, I don't know what it is. There's something going on there. And it's really evident because it's like to go from European football a few years ago, being in the finals, whatever, FA Cup finals, to now this. Like, is it? I think for me, it's a case of, like, there's matches where I'm just like, I'm not shocked anymore. Like, I'm just not shocked. It's like, Onana is a question at this point. Like, that, it has to be a question. Like, it's... I wouldn't say I'm concerned for the squad because I'm not a Man United supporter, but if I was, I would be concerned going into next season with this exact squad that you have. Are they Champions League worthy? Are they Europa League worthy? There's a lot of question marks because it's like when you're drawing to low league teams or teams who you should be breezing over. I mean, let's be fucking honest. Manchester fucking United. Everyone fucking knows Manchester United. You've won X amount of trophies. You should be fucking breezing past these teams. And it's like when you've got the likes of Onana letting in fucking scrappy goals. I mean, the Coventry match blew my mind. That was
don't remind us.
That was
who are you talking to?
I was lost for words on that. Like, that for me showed where I don't know. I think
I spoke to James at half time when we were 3-0 up, and we were thinking, happy days. We'll have a few pints after. But
I just don't understand how you can not only concede another three, but then let them take you to penalties. And it's not even a case of you brushed past penalties. It was a case of it was scrappy penalties. It wasn't a clean penalty shootout. Like, I think you guys just lack leadership on the pitch.
Yeah.
Like, you guys need, I think you either need to buy someone and really just rejig the whole thing. Because the thing is like, at the front, you guys are fine. You've got Hoyland, Mainoo. You guys are sorted. Yeah.
Do you rate Hoyland?
I think when he's in form, he's very good. When he's out of form, or when he's forming average, he's okay. But when he first came, it took him a while to really kick in. But he's, for me, it's like, he's okay. I rate Mainoo a lot.
Oh, yeah.
What he's done in the short space of time that he's been playing, like, he's quite good. And I think the hard part is where these youngsters are coming in and outperforming the likes of Casemiro and Anthony, all these people that are older than them. I think that's planting a lot of seeds of doubt in their head. And I think that's where this whole thing of complacency at Man United begins to start. Yeah, Man United is just a mess. It's weird. It's fucking strange.
We'll see you on the
11th. Yeah. I'm not confident at all. I can't sit here and say we're going to convincingly beat you. If it was home, I think it would be a different story.
But I mean, all the United fans would prefer Arsenal to win the title than Liverpool or City, which says loads.
I definitely would.
Yeah, we all would.
Am I confident that we're going to win the title? I don't.
It's not in your hands though anymore, is it? That's the problem.
Because if we lose one game...
But that's the thing, I think City are so dominant that they're just not going to... I don't see them dropping any more points, really.
I don't see City dropping points. I think, for me, it's a case of... Because I know Arsenal do this thing where they'll allow scrappy goals to go in.
Yeah.
Or they'll allow a lower table team to score a goal, and then that completely gives them all this confidence in the world, and then we can't fight back from that. It's like, I know there's a possibility there. So that's why it's like, I don't want to be this deluded Arsenal fan and say, oh yeah, we're gonna just blaze everyone and get all these points. It's like, there's a, for me, it's like, I don't want to say it too early, because I still want to be realistic. So I don't want to build myself up to this point and then just get completely blown away. It's like, yeah. For me, it's like, the league's not done yet. It's not. I think the match, I don't even know. I think it's going to be right to the end.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in it at the moment. Like,
yeah, Tottenham are the kingmakers, aren't they?
I even think, even if we draw a game after that and City draw a game, it's still all to play for. Like, it's like, it could genuinely be decided at Tottenham, but I don't think it will. I really don't. Because if we draw them, it's a weird one. But I'm proud of how far we've come. Like, it would be nice to win a trophy this year. If we don't, I'd still say keep Arteta.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't win us anything next year, he has to go. Right. Because what we can't forget is what he has done for us this season. He's not only got us back into Champions League, he's got us out of round 16, which we haven't got out of for X amount of years. And then he's elevated the squad to a point where we're now going head-to-head with City. It's like, you can't deny that is a good thing for our club when, like, 4 years ago, we weren't even in European football. It's like, a lot of people forget that. But it's like, for me, if you don't win a trophy this season, okay, like, we'd all love to win one. But for me, it's a case of, if he doesn't win one next season, for me, at that point, you've got to walk. Because you've had two seasons to try and you failed. So, yeah, for me, at that point, you've got to walk. But regarding Man United, I think if you don't win the FA Cup, that's you have to ask questions at that point.
Yeah. Right, have you got anything more to say, Giggles, or not?
No, I've
okay. We'll leave it there.
That was-